various viewpoints, even sometimes debates regarding the Lord's Day. I refer to that which concerns motorcycle racing up on the Northwest 200 there. And also even just this past week we heard some speak about the possibility of having certain football matches on a Sunday. And when you begin to speak about Sunday as God's Day, it is a subject that can agitate people. And certainly there are those who may feel guilty because of what they'll be involved in there. I used to be involved in all kinds of things on Sunday myself. And I did realise in some degree that what I was involved in I shouldn't have been doing on a Sunday. Some others feel pressure. And yet there are others who, when you begin to speak about keeping the Lord's Day, there will be thoughts of resentment. And we wouldn't want that to be the thought of any of us today. We are looking at something which is very well detailed and documented in God's Word, and it is very right that we should look at it with a great degree of concern and see it as something that is very important. Of course, we live in a day when everybody wants to do that which is right in their own eyes, even the very weakest ones. And we see it time and time again among the unsaved. Now, not everyone who is unsaved would desecrate the Lord's Day. We have to say that. There are those who would attach great respect to it as far as where they go and what they do is concerned. But generally speaking, the Lord's Day is being marginalized. It's being desecrated more and more as time goes on. And one of the great dangers that faces people like us today is this, that it seems that there are more and more of those who would be evangelicals who would attach little regard to keeping the Sabbath day as we have traditionally kept it. Yes, they would come along to church, but in the morning time, but they would have their views regarding the rest of the day as to what they should be involved in. No doubt, when we look at the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, or Sunday, the Lord's Day, it is a huge subject, and one that is worthy of individual study. Perhaps you've already done that. But I want to draw your attention this morning just to a few thoughts that we trust will help you. One of the concerns that we realised was abroad at the week of prayer was that, and regarding young people, it's not only young people, but certainly regarding young people, that there is a very big danger that with the refusal to keep the Lord's Sabbath and to look at it in the way that the forefathers perhaps have looked at it, there's a very big danger of maybe this generation, or many of them, going right back to where they come from. Maybe they had a grandparent that left apostasy and was, maybe they were greatly mistreated for that, or knew what it was to pay a price for standing for the Lord. And then you had another generation that sought to carry it on. And then now you have a generation that perhaps they say, well, Sunday, okay, go to church, but don't tell me what to do. And that really seems to be a thought that is quite prevalent today. I want you to notice this. Well, first of all, where did Sabbath keeping come from? And I'm sure that most people here have read the words there in Mark chapter 2, where it shows us that the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was instituted, brought into being for man's benefit. People would, of course, recognize that much. Then they would go a long way to realizing that they can benefit from the Lord's Day. Some say it's nothing more than a Jewish ordinance, but we have to see what the Bible says. Over there in the book of Genesis, and I'm just going to read you what it says there in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And it says there in verse 3, "And God blessed the seventh day," which was the Sabbath at that time, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." Well, you know that sanctified means to setting it aside, or something that is set aside for a special purpose. Every Christian is sanctified. They're sanctified in the sense when they're born again, they're the Lord's. But through their lives, they seek to live more and more unto God and less unto self and unto sin. So it says here, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So here we have the Sabbath keeping mentioned at the very beginning of things. How do you go beyond that? When right here at the very start, the importance of Sabbath keeping is mentioned. We've read here this morning some of the commandments that were given. Well, I'm sure that many of you have learned these commandments as a boy or as a little girl, and you've realized that the commandment regarding the Lord's Day is by far the longest and the fullest. Of course, there are things that are very important. Thou shalt not kill, as it reads in the original. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not covet, and all of these things. But the commandment here regarding the Sabbath keeping is the longest and the fullest and the most detailed of them. And if you were to take time and look through your Bible, you would see that in the olden times, in the Old Testament, their breaking of the Sabbath brought great judgment upon Israel. Something that was looked upon very seriously indeed if a person was to profane the Sabbath day. I just want to read a couple of verses there in Nehemiah chapter 13. It says there, verse 17, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath." And you can read the verses there, and the contents, you will see that the context refers to that judgment which had been meted out by the Lord because of the profaning of his day. And of course, there are many other verses there in Jeremiah 17, verse 19 and following, and so on. But what about even the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Maybe you would turn to this one. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, says there, in verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And if you read the context here, read some of the other verses, it will show that Christ was speaking not of the ceremonial law, but of the moral law. The moral law that was given there at Sinai. And you find Christ speaking 11 times or so about the Sabbath, and always to correct the superstitious additions of the Pharisees and those like them who had those thoughts in their mind which were nothing to do with pleasing the Lord at all. But you will notice that Christ never denied the holiness of the day. He never denied the holiness of the day. And as far as he was concerned, the Sabbath day was a special day. You think of the writings and even the practice, and you'll understand here that we're just touching on these things. The writings and the practice of the apostles, if you look there in the book of Revelation, I'll read it for you. It's the first chapter, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. It says here, John says, rather, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." You'll find that the apostles were indeed in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, what about this day? Well, if we read there in Numbers chapter 15, I know there's a lot of references, but there's just so much on the subject. It is one of those subjects that there is so much that the Bible tells us about it, and yet men are determined to completely deny the relevance of it. Over there in Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. "And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, The man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died, as the Lord commanded Moses." Now I know that people, some people will look upon this and say, well, it's not brutal. It was very severe punishment. And therefore, the keeping of the Sabbath, as far as the Lord was concerned, was something that was very, very, very important. And in the face of collapsing morals, in every generation from the Lord Jesus Christ was here right up until this particular time, it is almost always been seen to be in tandem with the desecration of God's day and the turning away from Sabbath keeping. Now the New Testament, and I want you to underline this, the New Testament never abandons the moral law that is revealed in the Old Testament. Now, we know that in Moses' day, their death was that which was meted out to the man who'd been found gathering the sticks on the Lord's day. We have to say that Christ upholds the moral law, but stipulates there's no civil reprisals for breaking it. Now, we know that people don't be stoned today if they break the Sabbath day. Study Galatians chapter 3 and 4 yourself. And you might ask the question, well, this day that you're talking about, what day is it? Well, here's what it says over in the catechism that we teach our children, the shorter catechism based upon the Word of God. And it says there in, it's the question 59, which day of the seven hath God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? Then it answers, from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath. And the first day of the week ever since, to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. And therefore, it never runs out of value. It is not something that is to be cast away. It is to continue to the end of the world. It is something which God's people ought to see as of the utmost importance. Again, we can refer to Acts chapter 20 there, where it says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. They were in the meeting. They were gathered together for fellowship, just the way that you and I have here today. And you can read on and on, brother and sister. And you can read so many details regarding God's, this day, the Lord's day, that when we ask the question, we did at the very start here. Where did the Sabbath come from to start with? What was the beginning of it? God started it. God gave it to man. God gave it to man as a day to be set aside for him and for the benefit of man. And we've just read which day it is today. We believe that as we meet here today, we meet in the Lord's will. And we meet in the Lord's way. And we meet on the Lord's day as we gather here. There are some words that are found there in Hebrews chapter 4. And I just what it says there in Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 9. It says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. If you were to take time yourself to study the life of the Israelites, you will see that you can learn a great deal from their mistakes. And how many times they erred from the ways of God. But I want you to look there in that verse 9, where we see there that it says, that was Hebrews chapter 3, the other one is Hebrews chapter 4. Where it says there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Israel seemed to get it all wrong so often. And how often we can get it all wrong today as well. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now from chapter 3 and verse 11, which we had been looking at there, right round to chapter 4 and verse 11, the word rest is used 12 times. 12 times you'll find the word rest there. And all of those words are totally different from the word that we find here in verse 9 of chapter 4, where it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So you will discover here, as you look at your Bible and you go through it, you will see that, yes, there's that rest which refers to resting in Christ for salvation. But there is that rest that is for the people of God. It says in verse 10 of chapter 4, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." And here you can discover that this Sabbath day that so many are determined to treat as any other day. And it is a sad thing, but I know there are Christians who have to work. They are nurses and so on, and we thank God for them. And there are people who have to feed their cows, which is a work of necessity and mercy, and various other things that have to be done. But it should never be a point with you and I, brethren and sisters, that we resent the Lord's day. That we see it as a day that's getting in the road of doing what you want. Because here's a day, and we did ask the question at the very start, where did it begin? God began it. And I've only mentioned the scriptures, basically just reading these various verses. And you could look at them and tie them all in together, and you will come to the conclusion, I am sure, the Sabbath day is of God. Sabbath keeping is of God. It does not matter how much society moves on or what man seems to be able to accomplish, that there doesn't seem to be in the minds of many a desire to come and to seek the Lord. That changes nothing. Changes nothing at all. And you will discover if you read church history, and I've mentioned this already, that where there has been the setting aside of the Lord's day, that almost everything else has fallen by the wayside. Some of you will have heard of Bishop J.C. Ryle. He was a very good man. He was the first Protestant bishop of Liverpool. And this is what he said. He said, "It is not too much to say that the prosperity and decay of organized Christianity depends on the maintenance of the Christian Sabbath. Break down the fence which now surrounds the Sunday, and our Sunday schools will soon come to an end. Let the flood of worldliness and pleasure seeking in the Lord's day, without check or hindrance, let it in, and our congregations will dwindle away. Nothing, I believe, would so thoroughly advance the kingdom of Satan as to withdraw legal protection for the Lord's day." Now, needless to say that the protection that he would have known in his day is by and large gone today. Nearly everywhere is opened. And there's so much going on. But brethren and sisters, always remember, and young people here too, that Sunday is the Lord's. The Lord has given it for man's benefit and for his own glory. I want to move on here quickly to another thought, and it's a very short one. I want to mention this. Is the Sabbath different? As we mentioned at the very beginning, it is for the benefit of mankind. It's not to be looked upon as a yoke. I can well remember, even after my sister got saved and she had been going to church, and I just couldn't wait to get home from church to go to fish and to go to be involved in other things. And sometimes I managed to stay off church and go to fish instead. And all of those things, and I didn't see it, as far as my preference was concerned, as much different from any other. Yes, I knew it was different in myself, but I didn't want to know, because it cramped my style. Got in the way of the things that I wanted to do. And I remember my sister giving off about people doing things on Sunday and all, and I just turned a blind eye to, at that time, to everything that she was saying. But Sunday should never be a yoke, especially to Christians. It should be a day of blessing. And it, as I said, it is good for man physically to rest. Of course, it's good to work. It's not good to be lazy and never do anything. It's good to work, but it's good to rest. It's good for man's mind. But it is primarily for the Lord, and our focus ought to be upon him. Just mention one thing that during the week of prayer that there seemed to be day by day, listening to the various messages and so on from the various men, that it is so important that in these days, with all that is happening, and there are plenty of other things happening too, before too long, that we keep focusing on him and keep looking to the Lord and keep seeing it as his day. Do you remember in Matthew 5 where we read there? Well, if we went back a verse or two from where we were, it says, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Well, one way to do that is to come and to be seen to be going to God's house and seen to be found out among God's people. Now, there's one branch of this subject, we're speaking here if it's a Sabbath different, in which there's great difference of opinion, and it is this: how should the Sabbath be kept? And it's right to say, and I have to admit it today, that even those who contend strongly for a Sabbath do differ in their opinions. They do differ in their opinions, but it's best to see what is revealed in the Bible. So therefore, we draw your attention, I'm going to read it, I read it earlier, to Genesis chapter 2. It's always best to base our belief on the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Now, remember, what I'm saying here is, remember God's example, that's it. Remember God's example, and what did God do? God rested on the Sabbath day. Of course, ministers work on Sunday, because some people say, "I don't need to do anything." Well, if I could get the messages just to jump out of the Bible onto the page, it'd be great, and be able to work the other day doing something else. But no, it is a special day, brethren and sisters. It should be seen as far different from every other day. So I want to move on then to what really is another point here, and that is the Sabbath day. It is the Lord's day. It is the day that is different. So what should I do? Now, sadly today, very often, it's how much can I get away with? But really, it ought to be, what should I do? I'm no lover of gloomy religion. I trust you know that. I don't think that if you show yourself to come in through the door with a very dour countenance and you just grunt at people and you walk out again and the minister shakes your hand at the door as if you've, "Well, thank you for putting up with me for another half an hour," and it's a really miserable state of affairs, that it shows you to be very pious. It does not. It does not. But we have to say that God's word stands. And however modern society around us might think that it is, God's day still stands. Now, people can fall out about this thing, brother. I know that many a person goes for a walk on a Sunday, and I'm going to give you what is my personal idea about that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Christ and his disciples went walking through the fields on the Sabbath day, Matthew chapter 12. Some people don't want to walk on a Sunday. I know that. I knew a person one time, and they boiled the potatoes and had soup on Saturday, and that meant that all they had to do on Sunday was heat the soup up and take some bread with it. They didn't have to boil any more potatoes. And that was their conviction. That's okay. But I have to say again, personally, my wife boils potatoes on Sunday, and I'm more than happy to eat them. So these are the kind of wee things that we're not going to be falling out about, brethren. But one thing is sure. One thing is sure of this, I believe that we should be in God's house. I firmly believe in church attendance, coming aside to rest in him and coming aside to worship him with those of like precious faith. Yes, we have all good friends that are not saved. We may have good friends that would do many, many things for us. But whatever our differences are here this morning, there's something about coming together with God's people. See, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And therefore we are to work and try to do that which is necessary to preserve and to maintain the unity that there is. There are those in these days that would love to cause great trouble for people like Free Presbyterians, or indeed other evangelical people, who they in a degree despise. Why? Because they're always speaking out about the Lord's Day. Or, well, they ought to be. And they're not changing the Lord's Day. They're seeing it as a day that while you have those things that you can do, that it's not a day for just going out for recreation like any other day. It's not, brother. And I know there are evangelical Christians who will say, "Well, you're just being a legalist." I'm not being a legalist. It's God's day set aside for him. And in fact, if we get to the point where we say, "Well, it's a day for pleasure," and again, especially when I was first converted, I was keen to go to church on Sunday nights as well. But some of my friends didn't want to. They just wanted to go to the coast, Port Stewart or wherever it happened to be. And I can well remember, even in those early days, a minister mention and maybe what he's going to speak on at night. And I said, boy, I'd love to go back and hear it, you know, just hear what it is and maybe something for me there. And then you'd have my friends and they were thinking, well, we're not going anywhere. We're going away. It's a lovely day. You may find this amazing, but I remember one evangelical Christian who said to me, what do you want us to do? Go about on Sundays like the brethren reading their Bible all day? Imagine saying that. That's what they said. And I said, good on the brethren. They've got a reputation like that. They spend their Sunday reading the Bible. But that's what they said. And this was a saved person. We should never get to that point. And I know that there's some that will point to what are known as problem texts. And here are some of the texts that they will cite to you and say, don't you listen to Salt or anybody else that tells you that Sunday is different. That just listen to this. And this, they may turn you to this. I'm going to take time to read these, such as the importance of the subject. If the first one's found, if you can turn to them, I'm going to read them fairly quickly. Romans 14. This is what some would see as problem texts when it comes to Sunday being different. Romans 14, there, if you look at verse 5 and 6, you can write these down and then you can have a good look at them when you go home. Romans 14, verse 5 and 6, it says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Now, especially that verse 5, you keep it in mind. Turn, please, to the book of Galatians. You will understand what they've said there. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Could I just say that it is a folly for us to ever think that we can decide something as important as the Lord's Day just at our own whim, our own notion. That's not what it's saying. I'll show you that in a minute. It's not what it's saying at all. But over there in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, these are people that are saved, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labour in vain. Please note the words in verse 9. I have one more reference to turn you to here and you will get the drift of what's been said in these passages. It's Colossians chapter 2. It says there in verse 16. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day. Remember that. And have the joy that comes through fellowship with God's people in God's house on God's day. And attempts by men to replace God's moral law with schemes and inventions, it's failing all around us. The Sabbath, as we read earlier, it's a day to be sanctified. I may have told you a story before one time of a man, he's a Christian, and he was a Church of Ireland man, just an ordinary young man. He's in business. And when the lease was up or whatever, to renew the lease, I said, this time you open on Sundays. He says, no, I can't do that. I said, well, this time you open on Sundays or you don't get the lease. And he said, that's all right then. And he lost the lease because he wouldn't open his shop and so on a Sunday. Because he saw God's day as a day that had to be sanctified. And brethren, if we do set it aside, and we do sanctify it as the Bible would show us to sanctify it. And we see it as that special day, as God's day, a day that is different from every other day, a day that can benefit us. We will benefit. Our families will benefit. And hence the whole country will benefit as well. But tonight, or today, Northern Ireland's running as far as it can, and as fast as it can, from keeping the Lord's day. What about finally here then, profaning of the Lord's Day. The desecration of the Lord's Day, as far as Christians are concerned, could fall into two categories. Personally, first of all, we could desecrate the Lord's Day. That is, if we just go out and spend the Sabbath day in a reckless way. You might not be doing anything wrong. It's something you could do on Saturday. Like, for instance, if people, even that are not in evangelical churches, those who are in dead apostate churches, if they found ministers out doing their shopping in the sales on a Sunday, would they not find it a strange thing? Plenty of it going on with other people. And if I was to be found going, and some of you know I love to shoot, if I was to be found going to a clay pigeon shoot, which, by the way, are becoming more and more popular on Sundays as well, if I was to go after my dinner and go to a clay pigeon shoot and come back here tonight and say, shooting this afternoon, how would you feel? Would you not think that I'd be profaning the day? Again, I quote Jesse Ryle. He said, it is impossible to plead necessity in mercy, and mercy, or mercy, in one in a thousand cases. You remember what he said about works of necessity and mercy? It is impossible to plead necessity in or on more than one in a thousand cases. So you and I have the word before us, brother. I remember a lady who was a Roman Catholic. She knew that I had gone into the training college for the ministry. I used to give her coal. And she knew what it was and all of that. And I was talking to her one time when I was back here doing deputations from England, from Bridlington, and speaking to her, and she began to say, how are you getting on, and so on, and she was telling me she'd been ill and all that. And she said, you know, there's a wee woman used to live beside us. She said she was Presbyterian when we were growing up. And she says we had the greatest respect for her. And this is what she said regarding that wee woman. She said, you know, she said she wouldn't as much as water the flowers on a Sunday. See, that woman took note. And I know that sometimes if you don't water your flowers, they'll die. That's what happens. Sorry, Cherith, that's what happens to my wife's flowers usually. Doesn't water them. You do need to water them. But what I'm saying here is, she saw the difference here. And brethren, surely we will want to do that which is best. Come to church on a Sunday morning, and it's a lovely Sunday day, and there's people, sunny day, and there's people looking to go away and just spend the day lying about the coast or the beach or something. Forget about the Lord's house the rest of the day. It'll not benefit you. It is possible for me to profane the Lord's Day personally, but also in public as well. And how many neighbourhoods, not just in the cities, we used to think maybe it was in the cities, out in the country neighbourhoods as well, it would be very, very difficult to know that it's a Sabbath. How many people out of your development goes along to church? Maybe some. But I'll tell you this, in a whole lot of developments, there's not very many. And they're out there, they're cutting the grass. They're doing all of their other things on the Lord's Day. Sunday's not a day for amusement. As far as I'm concerned, and it has been my conviction from I was converted, I will be in God's house when I can, among God's people, that I might know the blessing of the Lord resting upon me. And I do trust that every one of us, young and old, will continue to look upon the Lord's Day as a very special day. A day that gives us the privilege of coming along here to meet the one with the other and the opportunity to come to worship the Lord in accordance with the teaching of the Word. Don't worry what others think. We need to keep looking on to the Lord and doing that which will please Him. May the Lord help us to keep His day, even in these days.